All right, I want you to open your Bible. Tonight I'm going to deviate from Proverbs. I'm going to go to what some of our critics are saying. I'm going to go to their favorite text that they misinterpret. It's found in Romans chapter 13. Several verses. I want you to go to it. I want you as God's people to be able to rightly divide the Word of God. I see Brother Scotty Drake sitting back here. He's probably got some memories stirred of what we went through many years ago. We had Romans 13 used against us then, didn't we, Scotty? But you know what time does? It vindicates a lot of things. I've said this before, that truth sometimes can't get backed out of the garage before faults and errors have gone around town. And that's a lot of truth to that. But truth will win in the end. Our trouble is we don't want to wait to the end, do we? You can say that about so many things. And I'm not hardened to the fact. In fact, I'm very sympathetic with a lot of our members and older folks and folks maybe that's got ailments and other things. I definitely understand where they're coming from in this fear thing. Because all day long, 24 hours a day, that the news media has slanted everything they could to scare everybody worldwide. Worldwide. You've heard me say this before, and I'm saying it again. The kingdom of the Antichrist is right around the corner, and it's a worldwide kingdom. Now we're seeing a worldwide movement here like we haven't seen in a long, long time, and truthfully, never quite like this. And so I don't have time to say all that. Most of you know I've been measuring this thing, and I probably will some Sunday again concerning prophecy and the shadow of worse things to come that's beginning to come across our path. The shadows are beginning to warn us what's coming. In Romans chapter 13, I'm going to read a number of verses. Oh, for time's sake, I am so tempted to talk through them instead of read them, but it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. This is Paul speaking. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, he's going to qualify this later. He's talking about good powers. He's talking about good government. You got to understand something. When Paul wrote this, where was he at? In jail. Well, Paul, was he a lawbreaker? Was he in jail justly or unjustly? Keep some stuff in mind when you read verses to interpret. Yeah. Did he finally get executed in prison? History tells us that Nero chopped his head off. For bad or for good? Who was wrong? Who was right? Now we know the whole truth, don't we? Rather be Nero or Paul? I'd rather be on the side of the God's law that Paul was on. Amen? I understand the media brainwashing and the fear that's come from it. But this big accusation that we're breaking the law is not true at all. Let's just read a few more verses before I rip on something here. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For our rulers are not a terror to good works. Now that should be the truth. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. That's the number one business of government, is to protect its citizens against the evil. That's true in America. That should be true in any government that wanted to do right. That's what all of our workers for. I mean, whether it's health workers or police or firemen or whoever it is, they're trying to protect the citizens, rightfully so. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? If you do wrong, yes. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Preacher friend of mine was invited by police department in the area where he was to speak to him. And that's common. I've done that myself in times past. And he took this verse right here and he stood up in front of the large police department in the city he was in. And he said, I'm very thankful to be in front of all you ministers today. Some of them thought, does he think he's talking to preachers? Does he think he's in a preacher's meeting? He went on to clarify that the verse calls them ministers. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do not that which is evil, I'll get it right, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. You know, we ought to teach our kids not to be afraid of a policeman, to look to him for help. It comes natural for a thief to be afraid, for a criminal to be afraid, right? Sure does, sure does. The guilt. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And let me say this, in America in particular, now we've had little governments here or there, a little city or even a state sometime get pretty crooked in some government things. But as a whole, we have been blessed in America. We could disagree with City Hall. We could argue our point. We could contend. That was granted to us in our constitutional rights. So we praise God for that. And as a whole, our government has been one to look out for the good side. We send more food. We send more gospel around the world than any other nation. We do good. And we're doing good in this virus thing. We're sending stuff out by the millions. And you see all of that on the news. We're doing more than any other nation in the world could do. So all of that fits into the context, proper context, of what the Apostle Paul is saying down in verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute. Somebody asked me something. Is it right to pay taxes? Taxes can be cheated on and abused. But if you're going to get the benefits of the government, you ought to be able and willing, and the Bible teaches that, to give back. Jesus said, you know, they come to him with a big question, didn't they? They come to Jesus, said, is it right to pay taxes? Remember? And he said, let me see the coin. And he took the coin and said, whose image is on the coin? They said, well, Caesar, who would be the head of the government there in Rome. And he said, well, render unto Caesar the things that be Caesar, and unto God the things that be God's. And you know, they cornered Peter later, one of his disciples. Does your master pay taxes? And Peter put his foot in his mouth like he was good at. And he said, well, yes, I guess. You know, I mean, he didn't know what he was talking about. And so Jesus kind of quizzed him on it. Remember the story? You don't remember it, so I have to tell it to you. You take my time up when you don't remember things. Anyway, remember what Jesus did, though, don't you? He went, told him to go down there to the Sea of Galilee. And the first fish he caught to take the coin out of his mouth and pay the tax. Brother Lee, you remember, Brother Scotty, we went over and ate in that restaurant on the Sea of Galilee many years ago. And you go in there and order the fish, and you didn't have a choice between catfish and trout or whatever. I said, what kind of fish? And the waiter said, St. Peter's fish. I thought he's joking. What is he talking about? I said, is it a perch? Is it a trout? Is it? What is it? He said, St. Peter's fish. That's all he'd tell me. It was St. Peter's fish. And so they brought a big fish out there, all of us, a big fish apiece on a plate. And that thing still had the eye in it. And it looked to me like it was alive. It was watching me every time I'd get ready to hit it with that fork. I ate him, though, anyway. But Peter had to take the taxes out of the fish's mouth. But in the right circumstance, the right way, yes, taxes are right, even though folks cheat on it and some get by this, that, okay. But look. I've had some folks, there's some religious nuts sometime that go too far. Y'all better hope I get through tonight. I'm having a hard time getting where I want to go here. Well, I had some members here one time. They joined awful quick. I like for folks to join pretty quick, but come enough to see whether or not you're going to unjoin next week or not. because I'm not always as sweet one week as I am the next, amen? And they came, and they had some far out thinking. Saying goodbye to them in the parking lot, and they didn't have tags on their car. And I said, what is this? Well, we're not giving the government our money. We have to buy tags. I said, what does the police say when he stops you? Well, he generally takes me to court, but they generally let me go. And that is the truth, because they did it two or three times when I was following it. I couldn't hardly believe. I think it was this old thing, you couldn't get blood out of a turnip. Anybody ever hear that? You know what I'm talking about? They couldn't get no money out of them, so no need to fine them. You just go to jail. Kind of a strange family it was. And finally, I kind of got into it with them a little bit. And I told them, I said, I'm really not in agreement with you. I said, I notice when you drive off from here in the car, you don't drive on the shoulder of the road. You drove on the pavement. Well, yes. I said, how was the pavement paid for? Oh, no. I said, well, the taxes that you pay when you buy that tag, that helps you have a paved road to drive on. I said, let's don't be stupid here, you know. But there's some folks like that. But don't judge everybody. But that's a very rare situation. There's not very many like that. And I sure don't want you to copy that, young man. Have a little sense. And these verses I'm reading right here in Romans, they have a proper application, properly rightly division. And the government is supposed to be force for good. And yes, a good government is the minister of God to do right and punish evil. And that's what Paul says right here. And coming back to our accusation that we're breaking the law. No, we're not. You got to understand what the law is. The president's suggestion is not law. The governor's suggestion is not law. In fact, our governor, our Florida governor, said, I have no authority to close the church. Well, he's dead right. Neither does an individual policeman or an individual mayor or county commissioner or sheriff unless there has been a law passed that is being broken. Now, you got quiet on me there, but think about it. What law? How does laws get passed? They get voted on by a legislative body. And fine, I think we've had some pretty good suggestions from the White House and from the governor. I'm all for that. But at the same time, I have a stronger suggestion, keep God's house open, from the one that loved it and died for it. So I'm going to keep it open if it's just me. And that's what we're doing. Now, yes, we're half forced. And yes, we got some good people out scared. Okay, maybe not scared. Maybe being cautious. I'm not against that. That's okay. But at the same time, there is a higher calling. There is a higher authority. And I think that higher power can take care of us. And I think he has taken care of us. As of Friday afternoon, and I know this is Wednesday, but that's not many days ago. As of Friday afternoon, our local hospital had not one case of coronavirus in it. It could have gotten one since. Brother Perkins, you really got way off from me there, didn't you? And we're streaming and folks are watching. Do you ever hear anybody say, if you can't explain somebody, look for George Washington behind it? You didn't ever hear that. If you can't understand anything, look for Abe Lincoln behind it. Are you catching on to what I'm saying? Alexander Hamilton? Some of you still don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that filthy lucre where you pass your germs on from one to the other. That's what I'm talking to you about. So when something is a puzzle to you, look for those men behind it, and it's not them. It's their pictures on the money. Money is behind so much of it. Now, in the stimulus package, in all the government handout, and it had to be done. It had to be done after they got in such a mess. There was a time I don't think it would have had to been done, but that's my opinion. But it is amazing the funds and how they were allocated. Brother Perkins was sharing something with me, and I already knew some of this, but If you had a hospital tonight and you got some coronavirus patients in it, you could get funding that you can't get without them being there. You didn't know that, did you? What was it? $13,000 for one, $39,000 if one died. That scared me. I'd think that doctor would rather kill me than get me well. You know what I just said? Think on that a little bit. Well, getting well, he's worth $13,000, but if I can kill him, I'll get $39,000. Now, of course, it's not the doctors, but I'm talking about the system. I'm talking about some corruption going on. You reckon somebody might be tempted, just possibly, everybody being humans and fallen and sinners like we are, you think somebody might just be tempted to mislabel somebody? Well, think on that. Think on that a little bit. I'm going to make you lay awake tonight thinking about some of these things. A legitimate law has to be passed legitimately before it can be broken. Now, it's true. Some officer, some mayor can go on their own opinion. They got the biggest gun at the time. They can arrest you, but later on when it's a hearing in the court, that's when the tire hits the road. Right here in the front of my Bible, and some of you have already seen this on the news, right here in the front of my Bible is a picture here out of Kentucky. You heard me say Sunday, and maybe you've heard on the news where they went around to the church parking lots and wrote down the tag numbers, and where the black preacher out in Mississippi was fined, he and some of his congregation. Well, two judges got in on that real quick and rebuked the fire out of both of those situations. And here's the copy of it right here. You see, Brother Parsons told me this. I don't know where he saw it, but I'd like to see it if you find it again, Brother Barry. He saw a cartoon. See, cartoons often make more sense than the headlines. And he found a cartoon. And the cartoon was John Adams, if y'all know who that was, and George Washington. I hope you know who he was. Anyway, they were sitting there in the cartoon. Maybe we'll call it the ghost of them or whatever. And they were sitting there, and they apparently were looking at the Constitution that they both had such a part in. And one of them said, "These inalienable rights will always be," and the other one, "except in a time of sickness." Do you understand what I just said? That's not the way it reads. Not the way it reads at all. The truth is, you can't lay your constitutional rights aside. They were not even laid aside in Pearl Harbor. They were not laid aside in 9/11. They were not laid aside during the Spanish flu, which makes this thing now like a sniffle compared to what the Spanish flu was. But our rights were never laid aside. And they're not going to be laid aside now. What is going to happen in this quick fear, there's been some fellows kind of knocked backwards off their feet, but they're going to recover. There's some of them going to wake up. Some of these judges are already waking up and begin to say, "Hey, this is not going to fly. This is not going to work." And the reason judges are getting alarmed is because you can't give up your rights. You never get them back. And the greatest country in the world, government of freedom and for the people and by the people, with a constitution like no other, we can't just cast that aside because of a man-made fear. You say, "Well, our people are dying of it." Yes, but let's glad you mentioned that. Let's talk about that a minute. The mortality rate is down in black and white, and it's going to soon get some attention. All the writings has been, we predict this. We predict we need 40,000 ventilators. We predict this, but the predictions didn't come true. Not even close. Now those ventilators that was gathered for New York are even being given to others. Two hospital ships at great expense of millions of dollars were sent to New York. Only trouble was they had no patients. You saw that? Folks, we got to not lose our common sense and in this fear and panic that gets going. All right, let me back to the mortality rate. I hadn't forgot what I said. The common flu, called it swine flu, called it SARS. They even called it bird flu a few years ago. I remember a man, a good man, if I called his name, you'd know it. He was dying with cancer. He'd had cancer a long time. And I went to see him in the hospital a few days before he died and was talking with him, and he always had a good sense of humor. He said, "Preacher, you wouldn't believe what they tell me I'm dying of now." I said, "What's that?" He said, "They tell me I got bird flu." And he thought it was funny. I said, "You've been playing with the birds?" He said, "No, it's a joke, of course." But he said, "They got to put something down, hadn't they?" That was in Lakeland Hospital, a pretty good-sized hospital. You got to watch out for man's foolishness. He didn't have no bird flu. He was dying of cancer like he'd been for a while, and he died of it. Oh, come on. The mortality rate, that was where I was at. Come back. I heard the doctor right up here from Sanford in the university on the TV, saw him interviewing him, and he started talking about mortality rate. We're talking about the professor, we're talking about the pro in his field, and he said, "When it's all said and done, it's probably going to turn out less than the regular flu for killing people." Then he said this, and I'm going to break it down where you don't understand. You've heard me use some percentages around here already the last couple of weeks. I know what that does. Nobody grabs it. Grab this. If you pack this building out, it's really packed. It's 1,000 people, maybe a little more with the choir up. So let's think about that many people, balcony and all of 1,000 people. Now let's do a little modeling, a little projection. Here it is. If 100 people out of that 1,000 died, that would be 10% of the 1,000, right? Right? All right. Then tell me, what would one person, not 1%, but one person, what percentage would that be out of 1,000? Some of you don't know. Okay, right. All right. That's what the doctor said, and he said it's not even fully that. It's a fraction of it. That's the mortality rate. In other words, if 1,000 people got corona and only one of them died, 0.1%, folks, bad colds get that many every year. Somebody is pulling somebody's leg. I know some do die and one's too many, and I relate with all that. But car wrecks, alcoholism, drugs, you name it, AIDS, you just keep on naming it. Much higher percentage. But we didn't have to break the economy over it. All right, I'm getting some of you to, I smell sawdust burning out there with somebody. Paul here said the purpose of good government is to do good and to punish evil. And that is still the big, big thing. Now, what's at stake in America right now? What's at stake? Our lost liberties. Not just breaking the economy. That's bad enough. But do you think you're ever going to get all those liberties back if because of this they justify monitoring every one of us and knowing where we are, what we're doing, at any time listening to us that they want to? Do you know that talk's in the air? Do you know they have the technology to do that? Do you know that's Revelation chapter 13, the number and the mark of the beast? That's it. And lost liberties. They're talking a lot about this monitor stuff. For instance, I talked to a man today. He's the first one I've heard of. Don't raise your hand if you're the second one. But if he was the first one that I heard from today that actually got his stimulus check. And I couldn't help but think, and I'm fine for him getting it. I've kind of got the philosophy I've paid enough in through the years. If I were to get some, it wouldn't be unjust for me to take it. Most of us would have that attitude, I think. But here's the part I got to thinking about after he told me, yes, it was there. Went to the bank today, and there it was. You know, when they first started talking about giving all this money, I was dumb enough to think I might get a letter through the mail. Boy, is that old-fashioned. They do it all with numbers, don't they? But now here's the other interesting thing. How could they know him, his bank account, his number, and where to send it over the wire? And now see, some of y'all know all that's been going on for a long time. I understand. But if you don't see the Bible fulfilled in that, I don't know what's wrong with you. We are numbered. We've been numbered a long time. I had a bank president right here in this area tell me several years back, I'm thinking 5, maybe 6 or 7 years back. And he knows the Bible. He's a Christian. He knows a little bit about it. He said, "Preacher, we're already there." He said, "I don't want it to leak out." And I think statute of limitations is out now, so I'd say so. But he said, "I hate for folks to know their signature don't count much anymore. It's all their number." And he knows the Bible. I said, "Is that the Bible?" He said, "That's the Bible." He said, "That's Revelation 13. So you say, "Well, boy, you can't do that without my signature." Who are you kidding? They had your number a long time ago. Somebody said your number jigs up and your number's known. I don't know. Anyway, you're numbered. We're numbered. Can you imagine 50 years even? And I've been here almost 50 years. And 100 years ago, somebody said, "How could that be?" We don't have to ask how. We're into it. We're part of it. We're marked. And we're numbered. And all of that business. And our number's in the system. All right, here's the purpose, though, behind the scare. It's a control thing. Control the world, control the population, control everything. That's what's behind it. The coming election is part of this thing right now. That, of course, they want to destroy Trump because he's a misfit. He got in by freak accident, they think. He should have never defeated their sweetheart, but Jezebel, anyway, he did. And so he's been hated ever since. And don't it strike you a little bit strange that the strongest thing the president had going for him was the economy? They knew they couldn't beat him on the economy. That was the strongest thing he had. Where's it at now? It's in the gutter now. He says it can be rebuilt, and I would trust him to rebuild it above anybody I know, but brother, you can only bury yourself so long in the mud, it's harder and harder to get out. And we are buried right now. Been buried good. But the whole thing is, what was behind it? A little more than just what you're seeing on the news. You've heard me preach this for 2 weeks now. There's an agenda behind it. There's an agenda behind it. There's an agenda behind it. As I asked Brother Perkins there how much the value per patient would be, and how the labels are getting misled. Now, I want you to make this comparison. And I'm about to quit and let the choir practice. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, if you would look up the records and look at the death certificates of people that died in America, you would find, surprisingly, a lot of them died of what is called pneumonia. I know something about pneumonia. I had it when I was 3 years old, and I've heard my mother talk about it all my life, and it was bad. It's bad. I've known some young people that died with viral pneumonia. It's a bad thing. But I think I told you this. One of my deacons here died several years ago, Brother Pete Pitts. Most of you know him. Great, great man. He He could sing Justified like nobody ever heard. Pete was great. He was a man's man. He would talk me into going down to the Everglades with him and riding the swamp buggies down there. I kept thinking I'd see Bigfoot, but the only Bigfoot I saw was around town. But anyway, all joking aside, he was a great deacon. Loved the Lord. But he got into congestive heart failure and kept fading and fading. And I was with him in the hospital a number of times. I went to the doctor with him, carried him to the doctor a number of times. And got to know his doctor. He has more than one, but I got to know one of them pretty good. And we were talking in front of Pete there and everything, and Pete was on his last few days. And heard the doctor talking to Iris, his wife, a little bit, and he said, well, she wanted to know what's going to happen. What's the next step? What's the next stage? He's fading out, you know. Someday out of his mind, and other days back somewhat to normal, but it was a bad thing to see. And he said this. He said, well, his lungs will fill up with pneumonia. She said, what? Said, well, he said this. Here's the doctor's statement. Pneumonia is the dying man's friend. Now that will get your attention to hear the doctor say that. Pneumonia is a dying man's friend. And then he went on to explain. He said, most folks, when they have a condition, like Brother Pete did, as it gets closer, pneumonia sets in. And pneumonia will fill up the lungs and they will die of that. And often it'll be put on the death certificate. Died of pneumonia. That is true the last 2 days, but that's not what killed him. Congestive heart failure is what killed him. Congestive heart failure is what brought on the pneumonia. But it's still legal to write pneumonia on the death certificate. Do you follow what I'm talking to you? I'm talking about firsthand experience and talk I had with the doctor and Pete and his wife. Pete didn't get a lot of it, but so when he died, that's what they put on his death certificate. But he didn't die of pneumonia. He died of congestive heart failure. All right, run that down to right now. Most people dying of an illness, the last few days of that illness, their lungs fill up with pneumonia. So now who comes along with the label and says it was pneumonia or malaria or heart failure or corona? What are you going to label it? Now, here's a strange thing. Look up the stats. Don't take my word for it. Look up the stats and see how the death by pneumonia in the last year has come down. But the death by corona has gone up. Could it be a little mislabeling going on? I know some folks are listening to me on the radio out there. They're probably blowing a gasket right now, spinning their wheels, whatever. It's a bad virus. We've had bad ones before. We can live through it, do the right things, be careful as we can, and especially pray. But let's not be confused about the truth. I think, and I'm going to be very fooled, if 1 year from now, and I'm hoping Jesus comes for then. I think I got a right to expect him to most any time. I really do. But anyway, I think a year from now, there's going to be some Americans that's going to say, you remember that virus that they raised so much sand over? The truth's going to leak out, folks. You got all these columnists and all these reporters right now, they're on the bandwagon to label everything and scare everybody and do all they can and destroy the economy and win the next election over Trump, who they hate. All that's in the picture. All of it is. But the truth is, there's some fakery going on. Big time. And while we'll take all the precautions we can, your chance in this auditorium of dying by crossing the street when you shouldn't is probably higher than Corona right now. Check out the stats. Check out the stats. All right, let's stand. Brother Hector, you want choir practice? Choir practice. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, you tell us to not have a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. Lord, we pray for all those that are sick. We pray for all those in danger. We pray against the virus. But Father, we pray against the other viruses also. And some in the past that seemed to be much, much worse. And you delivered from them, and we thank you for it. We ask your blessing on us as your people to take advantage of, tell folks, hey, you might miss this one, but the next one may get you. But we can tell you a way that you can live forever, never die. And that's by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be true to him in these times, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.